This is Sunday morning. This is April the 8th, 2018, and we're going to continue part two of The Biggest Lie on Earth. I have a couple of handouts here for you and Danny. All right. We're not going to really go recap, but I just want to bring out just a little bit here. We kind of stopped with looking at Isaiah 40:22, where it says God sits on the circle of the earth. I tried to find my compass, but I don't know where it is. You know, I could just see a compass, God drawing a circle. The earth is his footstool. What is the biggest lie on earth? I'm just going to read you a little bit here. People claim Google Earth somehow proves the ball model without realizing that Google Earth is simply a composite program of images taken from high-altitude planes and street-level car cameras super-mounted into a CGI model of a ball earth. The same could be just as easily moduled onto a square earth or any other shape and therefore cannot be used as proof of Earth's rotundity. Over the years, NASA has twice changed their story regarding the shape of the Earth. At first, they maintained Earth was a perfect sphere, which later changed to an oblate spheroid flattened at the poles, and then changed again to being pear-shaped as the southern hemisphere allegedly bulges out as well. Unfortunately for NASA, however, none of their official pictures show an oblate spheroid or pear-shaped Earth. All their pictures, contrary to their words, show a spherical and clearly OGI fake. These are some of the pictures over the years. They've changed it to a pear. You know, I'm going, oh, yeah, with a Yeah. And we looked at this, all of these composites from 1975 through 2015. Every time they changed it, it was a different color and looked different. And NASA even says themselves that their drawings are composites, artist renderings. There was even an interview by a young man that says, yeah, he's the one that draws the blue marble. If you pick any cloud in the sky and watch for several minutes, two things will happen. The clouds will move, and they will morph gradually, changing shape. An official NASA footage of the spinning ball Earth, such as the Galileo time-lapse video, however, clouds are consistently shown for 24-plus hours at a time and not moving or morphing whatsoever. This is completely impossible, further proof that NASA produces fake OGI videos, and further evidence that Earth is not a spinning ball. NASA has several alleged photographs of the ball Earth, which shows several exact duplicate cloud patterns. The likelihood of having two or three clouds of the exact same size in the same picture is as likely as finding two or three people with exactly the same fingerprints. In fact, it is solid proof that the clouds were copied and pasted in a computer program and that such pictures showing a ball-shaped Earth are fakes. NASA graphic artists have placed things like faces, dragons, and even the word sex into the cloud patterns over their various ball Earth pictures. Their recent 2015 Pluto pictures even clearly have a picture of Disney's Pluto the dog layered in the background. Such blatant fraud goes unnoticed by the hypnotized masses, but provides fuller proof, I guess it's going to say that it's fakes, of the illegitimacy of NASA and their spinning ball planet mythos. Professional photo analysis have dissected several NASA images of the ball Earth and found undeniable proof of computer editing. For example, images of the Earth allegedly taken from the moon have proven to be copied and pasted in as evidenced by regular cuts found in the black background around the Earth by adjusting brightness and contrast levels. If they were truly on the moon and Earth was truly a ball, there would be no need to fake such pictures. When NASA's images on the ball Earth are compared with one another, the coloration of the land and oceans and relative size of the continents are consistently so drastically different from one another as to prove beyond any reasonable doubt that the pictures are all fake. Now, a lot of this has to do with the fake go to the moon. You know what funny thing happened on the way to the moon? They were actually in an aircraft, as from what I understand, and some way they placed the camera to look like the moon, you know, the Earth was over there. So that's kind of what they're talking about right there. In the documentary, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, you can watch official leaked NASA footage showing Apollo 11 astronauts Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins for almost an hour using transparencies and camera tricks to fake shots of a round Earth. They communicate over audio with control in Houston about how to accurately stage the shot, and someone keeps prompting them on how to effectively manipulate the camera to achieve the desired effect. First, they blacked out all the windows except for a downward-facing circular one, which they aimed the camera towards from 70 or several feet away. This created the illusion of a ball-shaped Earth surrounded by the blackness of space, when in fact it was simply a round window in their dark cabin. Neil Armstrong claimed at this point to be 130,000 miles from Earth, halfway to the moon. But when camera tricks were finished, the viewer could see for themselves the astronauts, N-O-T-S, were not more than a couple dozen miles above the Earth's surface, likely flying in a high-altitude plane. It's kind of interesting. If you want to go and all you have to do is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, and it's a documentary. Okay. And we talked about the what they call the Van Allen radiation belts that they say, and I even heard an interview with a present-day astronaut, say that they have such a problem because they cannot get through this radiation belt. And their question, well, how, back in 1960, whenever it was, how were you able to do it then and you can't do it now? So, you know, the jig is up concerning that kind of garbage. All right, let's look at some scriptures. Continue on. Isaiah 40:22. Let's go to Job. Job 38. Then we'll go back to that. It's really pretty magnificent. I know when I started to study this and I was asking the Lord about it, the Lord gave me, he said, I made the earth, and the way it is, it's like a baby in the womb. And I didn't have any scripture for it till last night. I looked up Job chapter 38. A baby in the womb. I'm thinking, that sounds just like God to me. Okay. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkness or darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare to me if you have and no understanding. Who determined the measures of the earth, if you know? Or who stretched the measuring line upon it? Upon what were the foundations of it fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? So it is fastened. It is fastened. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and it issued out of the womb? There it is, about the womb. When I made the clouds the garment of it, in thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and marked for it my appointed boundary and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud ways be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? So that light may get hold of the corners of the earth and shake the wickedness of night out of it? I can just see a sheep. He needs to do that. It is changed like clay into which a seal is pressed, and things stand out like a many-colored garment. Now, I showed y'all some pictures See if it's on, I don't think it's in this one. I gave y'all one of these. It's the picture of, yeah. Well, I don't have it. Of the signet. Like the earth was like clay, and the signet pressed it and had upturned edges like, you know, the Auguste Piccard said he saw from his balloon. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. It is changed like clay into which a seal is pressed. Things stand out like a many-colored garment. From the wicked, their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you explored the springs of the sea, or how you walk in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know it all. We're going to look at this later, but there's the scriptures, and the Lord's been talking about promotion this morning to us through those words. It says it doesn't come from the east or the west or from the south. Where's promotion come from? The north. That's where God's throne is, the north. Where's the way where light dwells? As for darkness, where is its abode? That you may conduct it to its home and may know the paths to its house. You must know, since you were born then, or because you are so extremely old, have you entered the treasuries of the snow, or have you seen the treasuries of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? I thought, Lord, we sure could use some of that hail right now. But what way is the light distributed? Are the east wind spread over the earth? Who has prepared a channel for the torrents of rain, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on the uninhabited land and on the desert where no man lives, to satisfy the waste and desolate ground and to cause the tender grass to spring forth? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? Or out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven, who has given it birth? It's like the Lord gave birth to this earth. The waters are congealed like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the chains of the cluster of stars called Pleiades, or loose the cords of the constellation Orion? Can you lead forth the signs of the zodiac, which I don't... What does King James have there? Do you have King James with you? Well, I don't think zodiac's in there. Anyway, I don't like that in their season. Or can you guide the stars of the bear with her young? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish the rule upon the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of waters may cover you? Can you send lightnings that you may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or in the dark clouds? Or who has given understanding to the mind or to the meteor? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the water bottles of the heavens? When heat has caused the dust to run into a mass and the clods to cleave fast together? Can you, Job, hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens or lie in wait in their hiding place? Who provides for the raven its praise when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? When I read this, I see how observant God is and how much He made this thing, and He is His feet. What He's made is His footstool, and He's observing all the time. How would He see the sparrow fall? So He encased us, protected us, set the things in motion. If you think about those that believe NASA and all this stuff, they all believe in the Big Bang Theory. Just some big boom happened one day, and all of a sudden these things came from the goo to the zoo to you. Just, you see how precise and God is? They don't know how big anything is. They just make stuff up. Anything to discredit God and what He has done and the preciseness of what He's done. He likes corners. If you go look in the temple, it's always about the corners of the altar. Everything had the four corners. That's the way He is. His city has got its four square. You know, that's just the way God does it. That's the way He likes it. And He measures it. Even in the ark, make it so many cubits by so many cubits. Everything in the temple had to be, the measurements had to be perfect. That doesn't sound like a big bang, just throwing something out there. That sounds like the devil. Who cares? Just throw it out there. That's the way he would have done things. That's why he's trying to do things. Okay. God's way is perfect. Psalms 119. His way is perfect. I believe that's Psalms 119. What he does is perfect. I mean, it's not off by one tiny. Nothing he does. Nothing. He has the hairs of your head numbered. Okay. All right. Isaiah 40:22. He's encased us. He's protected us. What really steams it for me, makes me so upset, is they've come up with this stupid alien theory trying to get people to think we're being invaded by all these foreign places and our meteors are going to hit the earth. Just all this stuff that they try to terrorize people through movies. But they're trying to propagandize them to really believe it. So these demon spirits and things can have an entrance into our lives. And it's all a hoax. It's all just bogus. But if they can get somebody to believe it and then speak it. All right, 40:22. It is God who sits above the circle, the horizon of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is He who stretches out the heavens like gauze curtains and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Okay, let's flip back now to Isaiah 22:18. We're just going to read these real fast. I think we looked at these a couple of weeks ago. He will surely roll you up in a bundle and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you will die, and there you will be your splendid chariots, you disgrace to your master's house. So we're just looking at here that piece of paper that I failed to bring in here that shows the difference between a circle and a ball. Okay. All right, Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears the facts, it is folly and shame to him. You know, I know we're not supposed to go around thinking everything is a conspiracy, but we are supposed to hear matters and check them out before we make up our minds. That's just wisdom. Okay, that's what the Lord would have us do. Check it out for yourself. Find out whether it's true or not. Check your sources. You know, anytime I hear somebody say something and they give sources, I trace those sources back myself and I see them for myself. Okay? All right. Proverbs 8:26. We got to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves in these days. 8:26. We cannot buy into the lie. See, this soulishness, that's soulishness. 8:26, while as yet he had not made the land or the fields or the first of the dust of the earth, when he prepared the heavens, our wisdom was there, when he drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep. You know, the world talks about all these constellations and millions of the planets, millions of miles away and all these kind of things. The Lord doesn't say anything about it. It's just not in the Word of God unless it's a translation that they've added that kind of stuff into. The complete Jewish says, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew the horizon circle on the deep. I believe the scripture is referring to where the firmament dome comes down and meets the earth just beyond the ice wall called Antarctica. Okay, here's what you have. Here's the flat earth, four square. But it's got the Antarctica ice wall around it. This is the North Pole. And the North Star is called Polaris. Polaris is stationary. It does not move. It stays there all the time. And so the moon, there's the moon, or there's the sun and the moon. They're on a circuit. We looked at that, and I think it's Psalms 19, talks about it moves on a circuit, as do the stars. But all of this, right there, stationary. Okay? Right here it says, these men are flying. It shows a globe here with two men holding on for dear life. It says, these men are flying on the globe at a rate of 65,000 miles per hour around the sun and 1,042 miles per hour around the center of the earth. Can you even comprehend that? That's what I mean. Their stuff is so outlandish, it's going, well, nobody could dare check it out. You see the angels at the four corners of the earth? They say Antarctica is the windiest place on earth. It says they're holding back the winds. There's all kinds of scriptures down here, but when I got to looking at them, some of them were wrong. I looked them all up. Some of them were wrong. This is simply a copy of the original, if you know. This is not the original map. It's just a copy. You can see that on the back that they copied and sold. And there's several scriptures all down here that confirms that the earth is not a globe or sphere. All right, let's look at some more scriptures. This is Job 26:10. He has placed an enclosing limit upon the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of the heavens tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. You know, everything he does is so precise and so perfect. All the measurements are accurate. It isn't just some thing that just happened. He made it. Psalm 74:17. You have fixed all the borders of the earth. A globe doesn't have borders, really, I don't think. You have fixed all the borders of the earth, the divisions of land and sea and of the nations. You have made summer and winter. Okay, Deuteronomy 33:17. Like a firstling young bull, his majesty is, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall push the peoples, all of them, to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. He's talking about the ends of the earth there. All right, Psalm 72:8. We'll be back and forth. There's lots of scriptures. It's really amazing when you begin to look into the scripture and you really begin to find out what the word really does have to say about certain things. When you think, you know, it's a certain way and you've heard it taught to you your whole life, it's a certain way, and you get in the scriptures and you begin to say, it isn't that way, is it? 72:8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Talking about fixed boundaries here. Jeremiah 10:13. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind out from his treasuries and from his storehouses. Now we saw where hail, he has a treasury of hail. Hail, you know, H-A-I-L, for wartime. And there's, you see in the Old Testament where there was one particular battle, I don't know if it was Jehoshaphat or Hezekiah, where the angels threw hailstones. Yeah. All right. Okay, Psalms 135, 7. Who causes the vapors to rise from the ends of the earth? Who makes lightnings for the rain? Who brings the wind out of his storehouses? He communicates to those angels. Okay, angels. Now I want to talk about, just for a little bit, Admiral Byrd. What did he actually see? Operation High Jump. They had a problem that their planes disappeared and crashed into invisible walls or invisible barriers. I believe they found the dome. And I believe that this cock and bull story that you can find online, which you have to be careful with Wikipedia, they are now off of YouTube using Wikipedia to poo-poo things people say that are true to kind of change the meaning of certain things. So don't, you might ought to get your dictionary out. It's probably a good always to not just trust the internet for all those kind of things. Just, if you've got a dictionary, maybe you can find the same thing. But the thing is, the man was never the same. They thought it was anti-gravity technology of Nazi Germans. See, the reason after World War II they went there is they were looking for hidden bases of Nazi Germans. That's what they thought, or they were privy to, that the Germans had gone there and tried to make bases. And they do say that the Germans had some technology that was kind of beyond. You know, that stands to reason that NASA was originated by Nazi German scientists. They were brought over here, Operation Paperclip. And that's the space program. And we're supposed to trust these people? Yeah, right. Okay. They were looking for hidden German bases. That's what they were looking for. Anyway, all this stuff started happening to their planes. But what you will, if you go online and look, you'll see a story about Admiral Byrd that he was actually, they were flying over the poles and they were intercepted by flying saucers. And these flying saucers escorted them to this place. It was a beautiful crystal-like city. And these men, very tall with blonde hair, came to their plane and escorted them to see this man called the Master. And the Master says, "We're from some distant place. We've been here for a lot of years, and your race is about to kill itself, and we're upset about it. We have tried to get a hold of your government. We've tried to talk to your government to get them to quit, you know, because, you know, they thought they were going to destroy the world, and after dropping the two bombs, they were upset and concerned about the two bombs. And he wanted Admiral Byrd to go back. He said, "You seem to be a man of noble character." He was called the Master. And he said, he looked like a human, I guess, but he said, "For this purpose, we've brought you here so that you can go to your authorities and tell them what we've told you. Because they're concerned that the people on Earth are going to destroy the planet." Well, Admiral Byrd did just that, and they told him, "Don't you tell anybody this. Don't you tell anybody this." He was sworn to secrecy, and he never did get right after that. He was messed up, and it's questionable how he actually died. I think they finally put him in an asylum. Now, I believe he was covering God's creation. What it says in Romans 1, where it says it's clearly seen through God what God has made. So that's the deception in itself. To me, the leaked story is this stupid cock and bull mess about the aliens and these spaceships and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you can search it out yourself and see. And so then they adopted it, what they call the Antarctica Treaty, and no one can go to Antarctica without, well, I guess you really have to be up special for them to even allow you to go, and you cannot go unescorted and do any exploring, because this man that did this map, and I have another one, a Gleason map, they both were explorers. And they found land, see, beyond the ice wall. But what Edmund Burr said, there's a hole in the pole, and they live down inside. They were living in inner earth, or whatever you want to call it. That's kind of the story. So anyway, they don't allow them to go. They were not letting any airlines fly. They showed the flight pattern. It was all around it, but you couldn't fly over Antarctica. So something's being hidden there. It's kind of obvious. And evidently, our president is privy to what's going on in Antarctica. And so my prayer is this. Let it be the truth, Lord, that's shown. Not some UFO junk that people are going to say, well, anyway. Okay. It restricts an average person from doing their own private expedition deep into Antarctica. What are they hiding? Parts of Operation High Jump are still classified. In 1928 to 1930, George Rayner went on an expedition to Antarctica and took a photograph of the firmament. Now, this is the picture that I showed you where, you know, all these pictures he took of the firmament. All right. All right. Let's look at Ezekiel 1:22. I believe the devil is just trying to hide the truth of God's word so people will not know the truth. You know, all of this would be laid to rest if every believer knew the truth. If they knew the real truth, no one would have to be afraid that we're going to be knocked out by another planet. You see that stuff all over the internet too. Or that we were going to be riddled with meteors and take us out like a lot of the movies portray. And that we were going to be invaded by the little men from Mars. Knowing that we're in a contained system, we're like in God's womb here. Contained. Protected. And nothing's going to happen to us. But people believe all this stuff. Okay, Ezekiel 1:22. Over the head of the living creature, there was the likeness of a firmament, looking like the terrible and awesome crystal or ice stretched across the expanse of the sky over their heads. It stretched out. That's what George Rayner saw. That's what he photographed. That's what Admiral Byrd saw. And I don't know that he wasn't killed for it. There was another general that was also ended up getting murdered. They tried to make it look like a suicide, but it was kind of obvious he was pushed off of a balcony at a hotel that had privy. Okay. All right. Romans 1:20. My prayer is, Lord, let us find out. The Lord said, don't ever be afraid of the truth, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free, whether it be end time events or if our world governments and all that have lied to us about things. Lord, let us see the truth. Let us see the truth. Okay, that's my prayer in this study. 1:20. For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature and attributes, that is, His eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, His handiworks. So men are without excuse altogether, without any defense or justification. God made it the way He made it, and it's plain for all to see. Even these explorers back in 1893 and the one in 1928, they saw it. They saw it. The Gleason map, it doesn't have the ice wall, but it does. It's flat Earth, and He puts on the globe as is. This is the way it's supposed to be, as is. What did they do? They took the as is and wrapped it around a globe. That's how we came up with what we got. All right, Psalms 2. Satan is a sabotager. I've heard of people, they were atheists, falling on their knees when they saw the truth of how God created. They believed. Because who can believe the Big Bang Theory? I mean, it's so out there and so ridiculous. Why do the nations assemble with commotion, uproar, and confusion of voices? And why do the people imagine, meditate upon, and devise an empty scheme? The kings of the earth take their places. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us. This is my prayer. Cast their control from us. He who sits in the heaven laughs. The Lord's laughing at all their stupidity. The Lord has them in derision and in supreme contempt, and He mocks them. He speaks to them in His deep anger and troubles, terrifies and confounds them in His displeasure and fury, and saying, yet have I anointed and installed and placed my king firmly on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. This day I declare I have begotten you. This is a warning. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's ware. Now therefore, O you kings, act wisely. Be instructed and warned, O you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent awe and worshiply fear. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling, lest you displease Him. Kiss the Son, pay homage to Him in purity, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For soon shall His wrath be kindled. O blessed, happy, fortunate, and be envied are those who seek refuge and put their trust in Him. Believe the word. They're doing just what they did, the same old thing over and over that they did at the Tower of Babel. Well, let's look at it. Genesis chapter 11. Later, after high jump, they had a, we'll look at it in a later study, but I'm just going to touch on it in a minute, Operation Fishbowl was an attempt to use missiles to break the firmament. To break through the firmament. See, God said, this is the way I've said it. We're in a contained place, and nobody's getting in and nobody's getting out. So they thought, what did Satan say? I will sit on the sides of the north, the Most High. I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. What was he saying? He's going to get some goofy men to believe him so they'll bust through that firmament so he can sit up there above God. That's what this is all about. You're talking about a renegade spirit having a temper tantrum. That's what's happening here. Okay, Genesis 11. God said he'd put his bow in the cloud. He wouldn't flood the earth again. says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one accent and mode of expression. And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain valley in the land of Shinar. And they settled and dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches the sky. And let us make a name for ourselves. Does that sound like the devil? Most prideful creature. He is bound and determined. He doesn't care how many men he destroys in the process. He's bound and determined to break through that firmament and get his throne up there. God said, ain't gonna happen. Ain't never gonna happen. But he doesn't quit trying. Okay? Oh, goodness. Operation Fishbow, this was, okay, I touched on that. Now I want to touch on August Picard. This was May 27, 1931, and he had his assistant, Paul Kipfer. It was featured in Popular Science magazine, August 1931. The title is 10 Miles High in an Airtight Balloon. The story of their adventure surpasses fiction. During the ascent, the aluminum ball began to leak. They plugged it desperately with Vaseline and cotton waste, stopping the leak. In the first half hour, the balloon shot upward 9 miles through portholes. The observers saw the earth through copper-colored, then bluish haze. It seemed a flat disk with an upturned edge. At the 10-mile level, the sky appeared in a deep dark blue with observations complete. The observers tried to descend but couldn't. While their oxygen tanks emptied, they floated aimlessly over Germany, Austria, and Italy. Cool evening air contracted the balloon gas and brought them down on a glacier near Obergurgel, Austria, with 1 hour's supply of oxygen to spare. So what did they see? They saw blue. What color's water? Blue. Why is the sky blue? Water. Looking through a crystal dome. Okay. All right. They were the first men to reach the stratosphere at 51,775 feet, or almost 10 miles. Ever hear of these guys in history class? They've hidden our history from us. See, the real things that really happen. I know it from a Christian perspective, they absolutely have, about our founding forefathers. Yeah. NASA's claim. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good to that hold fast. All right, this is NASA's claim. Living on an oblate spheroid 25,000 statute miles in equatorial circumference with a curvature of 7,935 inches to a mile. In 3 miles, there is a declination of nearly 6 feet. So if you go 3 miles, you should decline 6 feet. In 30 miles, 600 feet. In 300 miles, 60,000 feet, and so on. Example. The distance across the Irish Sea from the Isle of Mavis Douglas Harbor to the Great Ormeau's Head in North Wales is 60 miles. If the Earth was a globe, then the surface of the water between them would form a 60-mile arc, the center towering 1,944 feet higher than the coastlines at either end. It is well known and easily verifiable, however, that on a clear day from a modest altitude of 100 feet, the great Armenia's head is visible from Douglas. So across 60 miles, it is exactly level. 60 miles. Okay, Kansas. Okay, talked about Kansas is the flattest place on earth. You want to pause it a minute? The earth is flatter than a pancake. Of course, land with its mountains and valleys is not perfectly level, as is water. However, when large expanse areas of land are considered, it can be determined that land is not convex, as well as would be expected on a spherical earth. Land is generally flat. Scientific research proves that fact. For example, Mark Fonstadt, Ph.D., William Pugath, and Brandon Fogart, Ph.D., used data from the United States Geological Survey to determine that on scale, the state of Kansas is literally flatter than a pancake. On a scale where one is perfectly flat, the geographers used a confocal laser to determine that a pancake had a measured flatness of 0.957. The state of Kansas was scaled down using a 1:25,000 scale digital elevation model, a DEM. Kansas was found to have measured flatness of 0.9997. Now you can go on and on. This whole book is nothing but scientific experiments that they've done to show that the earth is flat. Okay. All right, Kansas is flat as a pancake, and I think there's another state that's even flatter than Kansas. Okay. Oh, even NASA can't hide the truth from us. Okay, here's an article. It's a NASA reference. It's called, and you can look it up online for yourself and read it. It's the Derivation and Definition of a Linear Aircraft Model by Eugene L. Duke, Robert F. Antowich, and Keith Crambler. The summary. This report documents the derivation and definition of a linear aircraft model for rigid aircraft of constant mass flying over a flat, non-rotating Earth. Now, what they're saying here is they do this on a flat Earth model, not curvature. Now, why, if it's a sphere, would they do that? Okay, the derivation makes no assumptions of reference, trajectory, or vehicle symmetry. The linear system equations are derived and evaluated along a general trajectory and include both aircraft dynamics and observation variables. Why would they not calculate it for a spherical Earth? Because there's no such thing and they know it. They know the truth. Go read it for yourself. It was a long article with all this technical stuff, which I didn't understand any of it. Okay, now let's go over to Genesis 1. How long have I been going?
On this one, 48 minutes.
Okay. Genesis 1, 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So there's waters above, waters below, waters on the earth. Three waters. There is no outer space. That's why you see, if you look at any kind of training, the astronauts did training underwater with divers. Why? Because they know it's water up there. It is not outer space. And God made the firmament and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the firmament heavens, and there was evening, there was morning, a second day. So that's the truth. That's God's word. Okay, Job 37. Verse 18. Can you, along with him, spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten mirror? The firmament. Some Christian scientists say that the water above the firmament came down at the flood and there is none there now. Well, 1,500 years after the flood, David said this in the Psalms, Psalms 148. Verse 4. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed over. Like I said, it's like a womb. It's like we're encased, his creation, in a womb. Okay. All right, look at now. Look back here, Psalms 18, verse 11. He made darkness his secret hiding place as his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. It does not say in Scripture that God made other terrestrial planets like Earth. Doesn't say it. It's all been added by the deceived. Okay, Isaiah 66. This is verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house would you build for me? And what kind can be my resting place? So we're the footstool. Acts 7:49 says the same thing. Well, we'll look at it. Does it really? Let's look. Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth the footstool for my feet. What kind of house can you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place in which I can rest? Just a confirmation. Okay. Isaiah 40:22, God sits on the circle of the earth. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about we see through a glass darkly. That takes on new meaning, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We thought it meant one thing, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just simply that we, because of the water, we can't see. We look through a glass darkly because of the deep. All right, Psalms 14:2. The Lord looked down from heaven above the children of men to see if there were any who understood, dealt wisely, and sought after God, inquiring for and of him and requiring him. So he's looking down, it says, because he's above them is what it says. These scriptures are irrefutable. God is looking down. Psalms 102:19. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven. Did the Lord behold the earth? I believe he did. Ezekiel saw this. This is Ezekiel 1, verse 22. Over the head of the living creature, there was the likeness of a firmament, looking like the terrible and awesome crystal or ice stretched across the expanse, a sky over their heads. Does that sound like Antarctica, ice, dome? And under the firmament, their wings were stretched out straight. one toward another. Every living creature had two wings, which covered its body on its side, and two which covered it on that side. And they went. I heard the sound of their wings like the noise of great waters, like the voice of the Almighty, the sound of tumult, like the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice above the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne in appearance, like a sapphire stone. And seated above the likeness of a throne was the likeness of, with the appearance of man. This is what I believe. It's the aurora borealis. It's what we're seeing through the dome firmament, because sometimes it talks about his throne, because a lot of times the borealis is green. And what are they seeing? They're seeing through the dome. You can see that in Revelation. It talks about the sapphire, the colors. Yeah. From what had the appearance of his waist upward, I saw a luster as it was glowing metal, and the appearance of fire enclosed round about within it. And from the appearance of his waist downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness round about him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. Couldn't be. Our government says that we have a space station, and that Mars is our next expedition into outer space. Who's telling the truth? Who's lying? NASA. Deception. NASA in the Hebrew. Deception is what it means. All right, it's also known as the glassy sea. We're going to look at that in Revelation. We're a lot closer, a lot more compact than we thought. Mm-hmm. See, our Heavenly Father is male and female. He is. The earth is like a baby in the womb. That's the kind of care and watchfulness He has over us. Doesn't that make you feel secure? Like none of these melon heads are going to come invade. Not real ones anyway. You know, maybe stage actors or... Yeah. Anyway, Revelation 4. Isn't Scripture beautiful? When you dig into it and find out what it says. All right, Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard addressing me like a war trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future." At once I came under the Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there appeared like the crystalline brightness, jasper, and the fiery sardis. And circling the throne, there was a halo that looked like emerald. Aurora Borealis. 24 of the thrones surrounded the throne, and seated on these thrones were 24 elders, arrayed in white clothing and with crowns of gold upon their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there was also what looked like a transparent glassy sea, as if of crystal. And around the throne, in the center at each side of the throne, were four living creatures who were full of eyes in front and behind. This is what Ezekiel saw. Those living creatures. Okay. All right, look at Revelation 15. We're going to see this again. Now, Scripture interprets Scripture, does it not? 15:1. Then I saw another wonder in heaven, great and marvelous. There were seven angels bringing seven plagues, which are the last, for with them God's wrath is completely expressed. Then I saw what seemed to be a glassy sea. They're all seeing the same thing, a glassy sea blended with fire. And those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his statue and from the number corresponding to his name were standing beside the glassy sea with harps of God in their hands. Here they're standing on the firmament. It's where God's throne is. The moon and the stars and the sun are all within the firmament. They're not all these however many ridiculous miles away they are. That rainbow shines through that glass, and it's like a prison shape. You ever notice it's an arc? Just like the firmament. Duh. Okay. Oh, goodness. I still got a lot to go. Are y'all ready for me to be done? You're ready for me to be done. Okay. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll pick up with it next week. Bring your little things back.